For those of you who'd like access to this content, follow the link in the description box, visit our Patreon page, and subscribe to the Black Kluge tier. For a mere $5 a month, you get access to the alternate Sunday episodes you've been missing, only available on Patreon, as well as the weekly Tuesday episodes. But wait, there's more. If you subscribe to the Black Kluge tier, you'll also get 2 weeks advance notice to our Thursday sessions. And if you needed any more incentive, when we have bonus episodes, Patreon is the place where you're going to find them. Also, don't forget to check out TeePublic for our great swag. The link is also in the aforementioned description.
Now, look, I don't want to get into a long explanation. That's not what I came here for. My audience isn't here to hear to laugh.
Hour and a half. I have not taken a break. Spread the word about Sirius. We do not take commercial breaks that often. Let's go ahead to Randy.
I don't want to be in a wig and a purse. I do that in my personal life.
Jeff, I don't want anybody touching me.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm with you. I touch you sometimes. Like, hey,
yeah,
man, what's up?
Yeah, you touch me because you're paid to touch me.
I'm not saying I was the biggest stud, but I got mine. And I fucked some pretty good-looking women way before I was Howard Stern on the radio. Fuck off, assholes.
The nose I have now is gigantic, and the fact of the matter is, the reason it looks different on Letterman, which I've explained a million times, is that I keep the camera so far back on the E! Show, and I only shoot from the right-hand side.
You wouldn't turn the children against me, would you?
I would try.
She would, too.
She's coming and she's fighting on all sides.
No, but I'd win that one.
I wouldn't even have to do anything. If you ever did anything to hurt me, they would hate you.
I wouldn't hurt you. I just want to go out and have sex with some women.
Listen, by the way, considering what I'm going through, I feel horrible that your smoking hot girlfriend went to a movie without you last night.
And then came home.
Can I say something about that, though?
And then came home.
Let's be honest, though.
When he was knee-deep in Johnny Walker Blue.
Bachelor party.
I think it was a good idea for the beginning of it.
Yeah, I think you would have been just as weird. If we started the beginning, you'd go, oh, my God, everyone's staring at me.
Not me. I love it. I love when people stare.
He loves to be stared at.
I love it.
Move into Sam's house and get the fuck out of our lives. We'll get Beetlejuice to pick out our
shirts. Get fatter. We're more of those fucking
Beetlejuice will pick out Howard Church. You can live with Sam and blow him. You'd be a little
and not only that,
baby
you,
there.
No,
not only
that, hey, I'm just trying
you
to
need,
weigh
you
it
can't
up.
Live without a stylist in your life?
I'm thinking who would be easier to replace?
I think Ralph, of course. Yes.
But there's a lot of
the
guys
who picks out your clothes.
Chris, could you date Ralph? Would you?
No.
Would you? You couldn't? Why?
No. Look at that smile. He's lying.
You're lying. Robin, tell the truth. Could you
date Ralph? X and no.
Right.
Oh, please.
I could.
No.
We would have the best time, Robin. I
couldn't date
you.
Ralph.
You wouldn't talk to me.
I couldn't date Ralph, but I could fuck him. I'd fuck his brains out.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
If you guys
a lot of
were,
people feel that way.
I know Ralph is straight, but.
All right, now I understand.
All right.
I don't understand.
It's
I can't understand gorgeous.
It's a straight place.
No guy, let me just say something about men.
Like
no man
says gorgeous.
Says gorgeous.
Really?
This restaurant is gorgeous.
Okay.
Now, you got to understand something. Guys don't talk that way.
Next time.
Guy goes, hey, it was a good lunch.
It was sort of
set. Well, the sketch, what the controversy was, it was Patrick Swayze, who's, you know, gorgeous.
Welcome, ladies and gents, to QF, a podcast about Howard Stern. I'm your host, Fillmore, a.k.a. Jim Fix, and with me for this one is Sam, coming back from hot yoga. How are you, my dear?
Oh, my God. If anybody wants to see something hilarious, it's me. I'm about as flexible as Joe Biden walking off a chopper.
How many in the class, and is everybody at your level, or is it varied?
No, everybody's amazing. I'm horrible. I'm terrible. I am... So I just looked at the instructor as it sweats dripping off my face and I go, and she goes, everybody, she was so like calm. And she goes, you know, just everybody at their own pace. And I was like, which means me, because everybody seems to be pacing just fine.
Just fine. Yeah. But when people get like, when the instructors are like that, which must be a good instructor, I can only imagine when she does blow her top or blow her stack, it must be spectacular.
Oh my God. When they had me going down, like, and my arms are ready to give out. They feel like jello. I just was ready to kill somebody and there's sweat dripping all over. I'm mad. I'm wiping my towel off my face. I go, God damn, I should have. And even when I watch Mia in dance class, I'm like, why did I not give a thought to being flexible or stretchy? But I didn't.
Well, the effort's what's needed.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll just get easier.
sit in chair position like right now. I'm ready to blow my stack.
Well, believe it or not, I'm actually going to start yoga this semester.
Well, good luck.
But no, I'm a different kind, and I'm doing it at home because I just don't, I don't, I can't imagine like the visual of going.
By the way, I got my nails done by a Vietnamese lady, and I was saying how you were at Vietnam, and I told her your story.
Oh, God, yeah.
She enjoyed that.
Oh, God. Anyway, this one today, guys, we're going to handle a Jay Thomas interview from 4/19/06. That's 2006, my friends. And it's great because he talks about his mother, but he also goes after Wiggs therapy and everything. So we're going to let a lot of it play out during the course of this breakdown. And we'll cut in when we need to, of course. So here we go.
Jay Thomas is here. He is on Sirius Satellite Radio. Jay was on, hell, I mean, Jay did radio for years, regular kind of radio, of course, before they invented satellite. He was on 99X in New York. He was on K-Rock in New York when we were there for a little while. Jay then got a job on Mork and Mindy acting. And then Jay, hold it, I'm doing your resume. I'm up to Mork and Mindy.
Oh, I like how he says, I'm doing your resume, but he's making it seem like radio, like regular radio, is such a fossil. And yeah. Sirius XM is the new wave of the future. Think about this in 2024, guys.
Well, yeah, and this, keep in mind, guys, we've already done one episode. I covered it with Bob, and that was the first time he'd been in studio at Sirius with them. But then this is the second one, and of course he has a job there at Sirius, yeah.
If you think about it now, in hindsight, the wave of the future is not shooting a satellite up, hoping it's going to hit, and you're going to get a station that can let you say the F word. It was podcasting. It was always podcasting. It was always the internet space.
Mm-hmm. And this, I was just listening to a wrap-up show clip yesterday of Artie and Gilbert, and they were talking about how Gilbert actually got bleeped on the Sirius show.
Really?
Oh, yeah, of course. It was during the, you know, when they had the BlackBerry, Robin was doing a story about the BlackBerry, yeah. And they start doing all those, you know, Fred Rerun Berry and all
Lazy
shit.
Berry.
Lazy Berry. Halle Berry. Anyway, and you know, this is supposed to be that place, that, you know, last bastion of freedom. But then they eventually got as bad as anybody else for self-censoring, which is just insane.
Well, I don't. And this is where I get like so mad. I don't really even blame, because a government or a entity will always try to corral control. I get mad at people for allowing it. So you, as the forefather, let's just say, of SiriusXM, your job was to make sure it was always free, be able to say whatever you want, whenever you want. You know, Opie and Anthony pushed the limit. They got kicked off, fired. Anthony got fired, whatever. But I blame the people that are at the top, like Howard Stern, who became, you know, management mouthpieces, and they went along with it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing your resume, and I'm up to Mork and Mindy. Then he, after regular radio, did Mork and Mindy, that he did, had his own television show.
It's on there.
It's in there.
It's
you're
on
good.
There.
You're
cool. Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Anyway, they did a bunch of TV shows, did a bunch of movies. Had a pretty good career. Invested in real estate.
Yeah. How are you? One of my T-shirts. I sent you the T-shirt because you were so nice to me. The
great shirt.
It's cool, isn't it?
I can't believe this. Jay Thomas makes a clothing line, and he sent me his clothing, and at first I thought maybe it'd be a goof, but it was like a really nice T-shirt.
Yeah, it's Z Clothing in Brentwood, California.
How'd you get involved in that?
Just I was dressed like kind of not cool, and I met a guy named Barry. He says, why don't you let me change the way you look? So
even he figured out how to monetize his career, unlike Howard,
best he could.
Who years later, after this broadcast, is befuddled by Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, well, let's think about it this way. The private parts era was long before, like almost a decade earlier. And so he has two revenue streams, the money. Well, three, actually, if you think about it, he has the money that Sirius is going to pay him for per contract, whatever. He has ad revenue, whatever minimal trickle that is. I'm sure it's a lot less than he would have gotten at the terrestrial days. And then he has Howard TV. So those are three. But, you know, Howard TV never was a massive success. And I would say it lost money for him.
Do you know how much money he could have made if he would have capitalized on his fuck the FCC days? How many diehard people would have wore fuck the FCC shirts to school?
Yeah.
Every person I know who listened to Howard Stern in high school would have worn that shirt.
It was his agent who was stupid, too stupid to realize that the fans were of the ilk that would have bought those in massive numbers.
And it's fine if you want to pretend to be on that sort of platform where you think you're better than that and you don't need that stuff. But then you're fucking sitting here and saying, man, why didn't we? Should we? We should have, you know, you're floundering. So you should have. And he didn't.
I think Don Buchwald at the time, especially when he was signing this, he was probably thinking, no way, you're making so much money. That won't, like, that trickle that comes in from that, as much as even if it's a million, won't be anything compared to what you're making now. But he didn't realize, Howard, there is no end to how much money he wants to grab. Like, there's no end to the greed.
Well, I assume his manager and agent, Don Buchwald, back in the day, just thought, how is this going still? Like, how does he keep? But the popularity was there at some point. And when it was there, you should have leached on to anything possible, you dumb fuck.
Yep.
He became your personal dresser.
Not really. It's called reinvent yourself. I just reinvented
You wanted to look better, so you hired a guy who had some taste.
That's right.
And then he makes these clothes. And he
buys the clothes from all over the place. But and, you know, you can have, like, you can be middle-aged and look okay without looking over hip or whatever bullshit it is.
So then have
like someone you know.
So not a scarf and driving a Jeep over boots.
Someone just posted in one of the Facebook groups that picture of him of Howard sitting in a black, everything black with scarf, sitting down on a rock wall at one, like the Kimmel's or someone of their, like probably Jimmy Kimmel's place. And everybody's sitting around looking like, let's keep grandma company.
I mean, even my father said at some point, he goes, why is he dressing like a teenager? Like, what is happening?
Well, yeah, it's a joke.
You get into business with him. He said, I could design some clothes, and if you put up the money, we can start a business together.
I'll give you a discount if you say the name of the store. You know, no, it's just,
His line.
It's his line, Z.
So you invest in Z?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do.
How much of the company do you own?
I'm not. I don't want to talk about my
Why?
Business. You talked about the real estate last time. I got 3,000 phone calls.
Yeah.
Could I sell my house? people wanted me to come to Boston and shit to show their home.
So people, because he plugged his real estate website, so he must have got like a flood of emails, whatever.
Yeah, but I can imagine for the clothes, it's just something, you know, he's not looking to go in business with you. He doesn't want to say on air, like, how do we manufacture the clothing probably in some Uyghur China fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So just shut the fuck up and buy my T-shirt.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you've invested in a clothing company.
Uh-huh.
And you have to put up a lot of money.
Not a lot of money.
So you own 50% of the company?
No, much less than
20%?
5%.
5% of the
5%.
company. Well, it happens to be a nice shirt. It says F-U on it.
Uh-huh.
F-Y-O-U.
But it's stylish.
It's stylish. It's not offensive.
Right.
You know, no, it's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool shirt.
Thank you.
Are people not supposed to know that you guys work in different places on your radio show?
No, not at all.
Oh, we don't keep that a secret.
No, you know what? One of the things that when I started doing the show, they've got all these people that do, you know, you got voices, you have people that don't say where they are and exactly what's happening.
Right.
And I said, well, we go on the air. We'll just say, we're never going to do a voice. All the guests will be real.
Right.
And I broadcast from California, and Rodney Conover is in Chicago. The thing that I worry about is that it sounds too wonderful. You know,
interesting that he said that, because I found that with Jay's show, if you can hear clips on YouTube, and as far as I know, he up until the end, he didn't change locations in terms of where he was recording from. Like he didn't go into a studio. He just did it from home and whatever. But it didn't sound jarring at all, as opposed to Stern in post-COVID years. And even during COVID, there's definitely some separation. And that's the problem with since getting rid of Scott, the engineer. Robin's mic sounds way different than Howard's. Obviously, the levels are off, and even there's some kind of whatever compression settings, they're not even.
No, they're not. And I think that's kind of remarkable that Jay's saying this now. So this is all these years beforehand when any of the nonsense that's taking place with the Stern Show. Now, even we have times where he's like, okay, we're going to play who's calling in, and then it's dead air and nothing happens. And they're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to move on from that scripted phone call that I was going to pick up.
That bombed. Yeah.
That you're in my home.
You're too comfortable.
Yes. And that maybe the listener didn't want to deal with that. Like, well, who's this fucking guy? He's like,
he gets to work at home.
He's at the pool and it's 3 hours and, you know, yeah.
So you moved your studio, home studio around the block so you wouldn't be in your house?
Here's what happened.
I'll tell you what happened. I'm guessing.
What?
You were sick of being home.
That's right.
Right.
Here's what happened. I would be working on the air, and, you know, you used to be married. My wife would come in with, like, a bag of something and say, take this out. I go, what are you, crazy? I'm on the air.
Right.
And I said, there is no take it out. Or knock on the door and say, did you? And I said, did I what? I'm working. Because doesn't seem important. It doesn't.
Right.
And
does it?
I can attest to this. Mia interrupted.
I just recorded that. That's coming out on, I think, Sunday, if I'm
not
mistaken.
She just adores Fillmore. Fillmore sends her things. She just loves him. And she just got the biggest kick because I put a fake background on. So when you don't go close enough, your face disappears. And she's like,
right.
Where am I?
It was great. I left it and asked Sam if it was she wanted to cut out. Yeah, I initially cut it out. Then she said it would leave it in. It's kind of cute. It's just audio anyway. But that's thankfully we're not doing regular radio. But if we were, I would have left that in like normally because it's silly. It's just funny. I don't know.
But that's the shit you deal with. Or I have Henry right now who's scratching around in the litter box like, I don't know. He's burying a dead body. And I'm like, God, motherfucker, I don't have a studio.
Henry, you're not normal, Henry.
Henry!
Feel real, like in other words, like the almost space out and go, I'm not really on the air. Like you're sitting in your house.
You got to keep the room small. You have to have the window small.
Right.
Really small.
Yeah.
I was looking out literally at the ocean.
Now, what if you can't see your like I sometimes fantasize that I could like be in another location and Robin could be in another location.
Watch this. Hold on. Go ahead. All right, you and I are talking, right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead. Keep talking.
Why are you on all fours? You want me to
because
bang you?
Because you can't see me.
Right, so?
Well, we can still have an interview.
Yeah, but it bothers me. I like
why
seeing
does it
you.
Bother
I like commenting
you?
On your clothes.
No.
I like commenting on your clothes.
Well, that's gay.
You know what it is? It's like, and I'll give the analogy. It's like a kid that's so ADHD and reading a book that he or she has to go back to the front cover every few pages to remind themselves of what book they're reading.
Well,
you're not actually taking anything in. He's so superficial that it has to be about someone's hair, their appearance, their fat. When Wendy Williams came in, wow, you look at those are fake boobs, right? And oh, this is like, you know, the surface level shit.
But this is great because it's so phony because the second he got even a little bit of work from home, he was done.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm not just knocking Stern on this. A lot of people are never returning back to the office. Commercial real estate is plummeting in a lot of cities because everybody realized they could work from home. They don't want to rent it out. They don't have to rent it out. And they don't have to go commute.
So I presume that's going to mean a lot of foreclosures on office space, basically.
Oh, you betcha.
Well, then in that situation, I guess who's the lucky person is the person who bids on, you know, whatever the
Black
sale.
BlackRock?
They're
going to be doing great.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I
would send you a picture of myself.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys don't see each other at all.
I can't see you now and I can talk to you.
She can see your ass.
That's right.
I see you.
she sees your brown eye.
Wouldn't it be funny
could
if
you stay like that, Jay, if you don't mind?
My ass started talking.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to work on the timing, I guess, but it wasn't so difficult. Now, are you asking me this question because, you see, it sounds really easy, doesn't it?
No, number one, I was married. And the fact of the matter is, if I did the show from home, and even now, like, I'm in a relationship with a girl, it would just be too much home.
No, he's doing that.
Where's your mask? Where are you going? Why are you leaving? I need somebody at all times. I need somebody
to
make me feel that I'm there.
I need the human elevator lift to go up the stairs.
He has to she has to walk him down for shows.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely like definitely a problem.
I like going and going to work. It makes it seem like it's work. It makes it seem real. I think the show would get
real.
It would become.
Yeah. Real. That's
don't we all just go to work to make our lives seem real? Any of you living paycheck to paycheck, hoping save up for a retirement someday? You're fucking saving every penny or your school tuition or health insurance. Don't you just go to work to make your life seem real, everybody? Doesn't that seem so relatable?
I just watched that Pat Croce, Pat Croce helps him and Ronnie through the Petcock thing, which was just just insanely bad. But at one point, I remember, and it's a comment you've heard on the show many times. He goes, "Well, let's talk about it. We're right here. We're talking about it." And Ronnie says something he never wants to talk off the air. And he goes, "Of course not. We're talking here. I don't like talking off the air." He says that so often. So often that it's frightening, but actually.
But it's analogous to this thing where it's like it doesn't feel like work. Like it wouldn't feel like work if I stayed at home. Right. Meaning like your job is essentially just a play. You're just moving to someplace else to do exactly what you would do at home, which is what he's doing now, essentially in 2024 and 2023 and 2022 and 2021. So it's, to me, I just think, how does the everyman hear this? And how can you ever like take somebody seriously or even give a fuck about their opinion when you go to a job every single day? Don't you think we could all wish, like, you and I, for example, don't you wish we could quit our day jobs? I'd love it.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, like if push comes to shove and if we got however much money it would take for us to, you know, retire from day jobs, of course, you have to make a certain amount of patrons to make that happen. But there are people, there are podcasts I've seen with 25,000 patrons. And I looked at the lowest tier was like $5. I mean, 25,000 subs at $5. Paid subscribers. I mean, we'd be rolling.
It's work, but I just think, like, for now, second income, great. But I also think to myself, you know, if somebody as talentless as Stern, I can't believe that's how he's referring to work.
Yeah, that's work. That was like, you know, remember what he used to say? I used to wash dishes. He washed dishes at summer camp for one summer.
Oh, for
and
Christ's
that was it.
Sake.
And he calls that, like, it's not like he was at the fucking Copacabana hauling, you know, 20 plates on one tray towards the kitchen, you know, like that scene in Goodfellas going through the crowd. He was, you know, or there's two Chinese cooks fighting and stuff. He just doesn't have that. And that concept of I made $94 a week. Yeah, you were part time and you made actually double what the minimum wage was at the time.
This motherfucker should have seen me at the Old Country Buffet. You know, the big ice, like, I don't know. It's like you have like huge ice things, ice buckets. And I'd have to get a chair, stand on top of a chair, take the ice, metal hook, huge thing, and haul it into the beverage, like the soft drink thing. We're out of ice. So I'd have to go carry two of these things, get a chair, grab it, stand up and flip it over and pray to God I didn't fall over.
Lovely. Jesus.
Too relaxed, maybe.
No, it doesn't. You go into a room by yourself.
Right.
And you close a door and you have all your little equipment, but you're away someplace by yourself.
Yeah, that's okay, huh? I mean, I'd love to do that. Robin's often said, like, man, she'd go somewhere warm. I'd go somewhere warm.
There are two guys in L.A.
No, you
and I
want to
say it's
warm.
These guys.
He has a place warm. He doesn't go there to Palm Beach ever.
He does record from there,
but he barely talks about it. Like, you have a warm place, you have a gigantic mansion there that could
fit the way he speaks about it, though, it's as if he's in New York. Like, he wants to make you think he's suffering with the rest of you.
He has a hotel.
Yeah,
literally,
more or less.
Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
I think one of them's on an island someplace.
Is that true?
Yeah, and they don't announce it, see? Because they don't want anybody, I may be wrong about that, they don't want anyone to know that one guy's on an island off the coast of Washington State and the other guy's in L.A.
Yeah, I heard those two guys hate each other. Like, literally, well, it's better that they don't have to be in the studio.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't know any of these things when you listen to them, and you don't know what room they're in or whatever.
Hmm.
Hey, that's, well, pretty-
that's called professionalism.
I think he brought that up for the sheer fact that he didn't want to. It's almost like he didn't want to bring up the point that he was bringing up to him. Do you know what I mean? And by the way, two people who hate each other. That's also bringing up shit with the Howard Stern show.
O&A.
Yeah. O&A. We're not going to get
many
into
how many years were they on the outs while they were still recording together?
The professionalism is amazing. I even give credit to Jackie and Robin for the professionalism and hating each other. I remember Jackie said he didn't talk, or she didn't talk to him for like a long time.
It was like a couple of months. But she was.
That's a long time.
That is a long time. And I did it for years with one coworker, actually, because I couldn't fucking stand her. And she was such a cunt. And someone said she was a preacher's daughter. I'm like, what kind of preacher? The kind,
oh,
the kind that,
Jesus,
the kind
I thought
that
you were
assassinates
talking about
people?
The wino.
And this one, anyway, I will say that it's with Jackie. Someone mentioned, I think it was Mark Weilich, he mentioned about the end of the Jackie joke landing. I can't get it in my region, so I have to find a way to get a copy made or something, but I can't stream it. I can't, even if I sign up for Amazon, it doesn't show up, and I got, maybe a VPN will work. I don't know. I'll see. But he says at the end, it's sad because Jackie realizes that all the time they spent, he finally admits that all the time they spent together and he thought they were friends. I'm like, I don't know how deluded you could be in that fucking atmosphere, knowing the way things were, that you weren't friends.
I think that's common, to be honest.
Like in the whole narcissist universe, like not realizing you've been used, not having the tools to realize what a narcissist is?
Yeah, and because if you're jaded, and I guess you don't, if you don't come from a mindset that people are genuinely not bad people, I think that you think that people are good people. And if they're your friends, they're your friends. So why would they screw you over? And I think the surprise is when they do screw you over, you didn't see the before red flags as a red flag towards you. You just saw it as something as, well, this is towards everybody else. And I've said it in previous podcasts, especially with Stern. When, for example, what's his face? Iron Mask guy. John Favreau. And I said, and I made the point, how couldn't you see how he treated other directors, other celebrities, other people? Why would you think you're exempt from that sort of treatment? See, now I can see that clearly with this mindset. But people in my past, personally, I've worked with or dealt with, you can't see it when it's happening to you because you have this naivety about you and you just don't see it.
Yep.
Bean gets out of line. Bean is just out of line.
Bean.
Yeah, Bean.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they are. I just know they're, you know.
No, but I've also, there's a guy in Miami who isn't in Miami. You think he's in Miami, but he's not. Rush Limbaugh does his show.
From Florida.
From Florida. People think he's in New York.
The stupid one was, there's a guy named Jay Severage or something. He was in Boston. And so a newspaper wrote an article that he lived in Long Island, but he's in Boston, you know, Boston politics and all that. And there was an uproar. How dare he live in Long Island? And I think he had to move to Boston.
Yeah, like who would care?
So you should go on the air and go, look, I get a Boston paper, I watch the TV, and
yeah, like, why
the Red Sox? So what? Yeah, I'm in Boston. I mean, I'm
who cares?
Virtually, I'm in Boston.
Right, like right now I'm in Buffalo.
Right. Well, that's
by way of the internet.
That's just like how the national news works nowadays. I mean, you could have people who care about things that are national news stories that don't exist in your city, and it matters.
Right.
And people can make every politician pounces on anything.
Sure.
Doesn't matter where it's from.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you're a reporter in fucking Maine and there's a story in Detroit, well, you get it off the wire and you report on it. Big deal. You have to be in Detroit to report on it.
Right. Like right now, everybody's reporting on the Alec Baldwin thing going on with the case. Did you
see? C.A. Thompson, who did a great job on Sunday's episode, by the way, C.A., thank you so much. I've already told you personally, but she messaged me about the armorers. The attire, she says she didn't realize that's the smug armorer, which is the perfect description. She didn't realize 90s prom was what the dress code was like. And that little insufferable little nepo hire. She's going to get the book thrown at her.
And just, you can't lie to a court.
No,
your inconsistencies are not masked well.
Right.
It's bad. The whole thing is bad. Well, good luck, Alec.
And that was their argument about me syndicating, that I wasn't a local guy, that I wouldn't be able to succeed in Philadelphia or Los Angeles because I wasn't there. Who cares if I'm there? If it's good, I mean, why do they network television?
You know why? Every program director wants you to say the time and temperature. That's why. Yeah, you know this.
I guess. I don't know. But meanwhile, how do you like this campaign against satellite radio now? Like, I'm starting to see now terrestrial radio has already declared it a failure. Like, in other words, they go, well, you know, Howard Stern came over here and he only brought a couple of million people with him, but it's over now. It's over. That's it. Like it's.
Wow, that stammering is just because he's looking at his bonuses. He's like desperate to get that first bonus, which he gets, of course. We know in retrospect.
A first.
But I know that him and Buchwald were like, we need to, you know, fuck the first bonus. We need to get like 4 million out of the bat. Otherwise, we aren't getting those other bonuses.
They didn't see the rhinoceros coming behind them, which was the internet and Bluetooth and wireless and car hookups. I mean, you have to be a fucking moron not to see that. And if you did see that and you shot a satellite up into the air and you were the first, then you fucking better not just hire names. You better hire the best in sports, the best in music, the best in everything to curate something. Otherwise, you're going to fail.
Well, think about it. Wireless phones. I mean, they didn't exist. And then they suddenly were invented. And then people, they're pretty much commonplace and they still sound like fucking dog shit. But then, what was going to be the next thing? Well, wireless speakers. And then what was going to be the next thing? Well, so Bluetooth, and then also just streaming, like the internet. Like eventually it was going to get faster. Like the modems would get faster. They'd get out. They get thrown out more or less or updated. Everything was going to be wireless super fast technology, 5G, 4G, whatever. They had someone at least you pay someone to tell you this. You pay an advisor to say, what's going to be the future? What's going on in the next 2 years? Not what's going on next year. What's going on after that?
Right. I mean, anybody in the 90s playing Oregon Trail could tell you, I mean, this has to get better.
Yep.
Done. Have you been noticing this?
Can I tell you another? This is very much like, have you been reading that real estate is bad?
Oh, it's going down. Yeah. Right.
Let me put my coffee down. Burst. Let me explain this to you. Mm-hmm. Conspiracies are all around us, and this is one of them. Right. On Wall Street, everybody started putting their money into their houses, right? Mm-hmm. And the stockbrokers said, you know, this is bullshit because they're writing about how the equity's going up in houses. Everyone did it.
Right.
And the stock market went down.
Right.
And so then every article you read said that it's over, the bubble's coming, it's going to blow.
Boy, it sure did, didn't it?
Well, I don't understand in hindsight, and there were only a few people saying this, which makes me realize experts are bullshit. How couldn't you see that with a 0% interest rate for such a prolonged period of time that bubble would not burst? There was only a few people, though, willing to actually say it that were experts. Eric Weinstein was one of them. Edward Dowd was one of them. Thomas Sowell was one of them. Very few economists and scientists and people that I know at the time were saying this, but everybody was invested in the real estate market at the time. I know my uncle was really devastated by that bubble burst. I mean, he owned condos, shopping places. It was bad. It was real bad.
Yep.
How can't you see it? Well, you can't see it because everybody's saying it's so great. It's so great. It's so great. I even said in the last podcast, thank God I'm not retiring for a few years because there's just no way whatever's great for Wall Street and bad for Main Street, you're always going to have to sort of go down. There's going to have to be a bubble burst at some point.
Yeah, hunker down.
Hey,
you all know it.
Right.
That came right out of Wall Street, and it worked. There's no reason for it. People are still buying houses. And they're
paying a fortune for them.
And there's been some adjustment down. There's no doubt.
But it's always like that.
If you talk long enough, if you can, if you talk long enough and say something's going to happen or somebody's no good or whatever, if you tell a lie long enough,
it becomes the truth.
Or
I don't dye my hair.
Well, I mean, if you tell a lie long enough, the funny thing, the Fed is a lie. If you tell a lie long enough since its creation, it's a lie.
Well, the real quote should be, if you tell a lie long enough, eventually you believe it.
The fact that people think the federal bank is owned by the federal government is hilarious. I mean, you guys realize it's not, I hope. Thank you.
Or if you tell a fantasy long enough, I think this satellite radio, I don't think it's whatever.
Now I'm reading, according to what Howard Stern is saying, he says it's a disappointment. And that's not what I said. I said,
no, what's funny? I did read that.
Yeah, and you know what? If you read it, it's even wrote laughingly. But now the laugh has been taken out. I said, I'm a neurotic. I go to a psychiatrist 4 days a week. I said, this is the biggest success.
Why do you go to a psychiatrist?
Hold on a second.
4 days
I said, this
week.
Is the biggest success.
had a bit of this in the first episode. No, we didn't cover the first one. The first appearance is good because he talks about his career, but we'll try that another time.
If you ever misquote or if I ever misquote, I can just inject right now. I go to a psychiatrist 4 times a week and that absolves me of my stupid statement. Is that what we're saying? Okay.
Yeah, I guess so.
Of my life, we've brought millions of people to satellite, but it's never enough for me. I wish it was 20 million people.
Right. That's exactly what they're saying.
I wonder why.
Well, guess what? You got hardware that took an hour to hook up to my Hyundai Elantra, you shit.
What I said. And now they're saying, well, Howard Stern is disappointed in the amount of people. Are you crazy? They can't even make the radios fast enough. They're selling out all over the place. You can't even pick up a goddamn satellite radio.
Well, then...
Fast enough and bad enough are two different statements. Yeah, you can make whatever fucking hardware you want fast enough. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's bad enough. It takes forever to hook up in a car. The wires were ridiculous. You had to run them through your windows and you had to open up. They had to literally tell you how to open up the fucking window things with the little rubber things and slide them in between.
I do have a question about this. For the setup for the car, obviously, if you had a window, even a crack open, and it rained, you're gonna get soaked and like it was gonna get in. But the gear itself going outside was not waterproof, was it?
So it had a little thing on the back, but it went through your trunk and went in, and then it went up and in through your window, and then on your dashboard. And
fucking ball ache!
It was the worst thing, and then I got it stolen. And I didn't even give a shit. I didn't even care. And
well,
the Sirius XM stiletto, in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah. We discussed this a few times. But during the 80s, if you paid good money for a real boombox in the early part of the 80s, like the real, like what the rappers would always carry in those videos, they cost hundreds, maybe even $1,000, as you know, the really good ones. Shortwave, they had shortwave radio on them. They had all kinds of, you know, the dial was like massive. The sound was booming and it was heavy. It was a tank. We had like guys that like service people wouldn't touch it because they were like, I don't even know how to open this thing. And then later on, the boom comes in and all the boom boxes and the double deck, so you could do high speed dubbing. They came out, but they were so cheap and so plasticky and so shit that, you know, like it was almost not worth even investing in one. You're better off just waiting until the next technology. CDs were the same. CD players used to be these boxes and they were just getting worse and worse. And then they eventually got better until, you know, technology catches up. Mini discs were the ones that missed. And I loved mini disc.
I just liked, my father had an Oldsmobile and I don't know. I told this story maybe. But we had the Michael Jackson Black or White album, and we bought the tape.
Dangerous.
Yep. And the glass breaks. And my father thought it would be fun to take it to this ice cream shop. And he had, like, speakers in the back. And he told us to get down. And he blasted it so it sounded like glass was shattering. And everybody ducked in the ice cream place, and he drove away.
So that was actually the video version, like the long form version, that one where he beats the car up, you mean?
It was like the glass shattered in one of the songs, and he thought it would be hilarious to drive up to an ice cream parlor
to play that. Your dad sounds like a prankster.
And I said, what the fuck is going on? And everybody's ducked down, and my dad was laughing out the window, and we're driving back home, and I go, what is wrong with you? Like, as a child, I was thinking that. I go, what is wrong with you? He just wanted to test out his new stereo system, and he got his Oldsmobile, and he was just all happy about it. I go, why did people duck? And now in hindsight, I go, you wanted people to think they were being shot?
Yes. It's a little twisted.
The head of the other company quit. The head of XM quit.
Right.
But that was some internal thing. Have you ever known anybody who got fired or quit and didn't, when it was all over, leave because, you know, I couldn't take what was happening over there? The reality is they went, get out.
See, you make a lot of sense. I'm going to
get out.
Wait a second.
Who knew he could make this?
But wait a second. Here's what scares me.
I've never been fired when I didn't deserve it.
Wait, can I say
something? But when I got fired, I said, those bastards.
Right.
They turned on me.
You got to say that.
See, I can't see you, so I have to stand up to see you.
No, can I say something?
And then, you know what? It's no fun to look at you either. That's
why I'm back here.
You start to make a lot of sense, but I should warn the audience, before you listen to Jay about anything,
mm-hmm.
And by the way, my condolences, I know your mother just died.
My mother passed away.
Oh, God.
But Jay's one.
What a segue. What a segue.
Jeez, one of those guys that claims he can speak to the dead.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Why would we all of a sudden be listening to him
nothing.
Like he can make sense?
Hold on.
Nothing.
I don't believe in God per se.
Yes.
But I do believe in some sort of a spirit or a something.
All right.
And in my life, I feel as though that I have heard voices of dead relatives or dead people, like, and I had crushed
it on. What are you talking about?
I was almost going to take your real estate advice. I was going to buy.
I loved my mother like many of us do. My mother, raised on a plantation, a true Southern woman.
But she owned it.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's a big racist, right?
raised on a plantation, but she owned it from Robin.
Yeah.
Wow. Jay.
Jay's fearless.
The slave owner.
By
the way, I'm not denying there are. If you have a spiritual connection and you understand, and if you think death isn't something that's just final, sometimes you can just tap into things, frequencies.
Yeah. I've never felt anything. I wear my I don't have it now on now, but my baptismal cross. I wear my baptismal cross. Even I use it as a fucking toothpick. I hate to offend anybody, but honestly, I don't give. God doesn't
Not
give
you?
A shit.
I don't know. I don't think.
I don't believe. Like, I don't hear. I've never heard a relative. I've never seen something. I've loads of things that have reminded me of dead relatives. Would have made them laugh or something like that. But I've never heard. I don't believe in spirits. I believe when we die, we're gone. And how you're remembered is that your spirit is really what you leave behind, what people remember from you. If they, you know, I guess this podcast is my spirit.
Well, I'm aware that this will be left in the 3D world, but I think there's different dimensions, different worlds. There's people that are closer or farther away, depending on where, I guess, ever they felt like going. But there's some people that stay close, and you can just tell or feel them or hear them, or I don't know how to explain it.
I'm just too cynical about it all, and unfortunately, but maybe that'll change when I get older.
Well, you know what's funny? She wasn't.
She talked about real estate. Don't buy next to blacks.
My mother, at one time, a black family moved in next door to us in New Orleans. And my mother, I came home for the weekend. She goes, oh, my God, blacks have moved in next door. Now, my brother had just been arrested for, you know, cocaine.
Right.
And he was on the front page of the paper. And I said, Mother, I think that our house is the one that's dragging the poor black people.
This is how you know Jay's not a racist.
It's so true.
You know, like he was just such a fucking down to earth guy, and like a total, you could totally have a beer with him.
thing down. And so she said, and why are these blacks marrying white people? When they have those children, they're like checkerboard square. And I would say, Mom, that's what people, they like. I don't understand it.
See, your mom was the opposite of my mother. My mother was the one who insisted on living in a black community, despite the fact that we were one white family.
Oh.
And she wanted to prove to everybody how liberal she was. Complete opposite from your mother.
My mother danced. She loved men and died at 91. And my mother
What do you mean she loved men?
Loved men. She.
What does that mean?
She went out dancing and had boyfriends.
Banged guys all up.
I don't know that my dad died when I was very young. Died at 21.
And then she went out and banged as many guys as she could.
But she had been raised, sheltered. Then she meets my dad. They're married for whatever, 30 years, whatever. He dies. And she went back to being 16 like the next day.
That's very liberal. Like, when my grandfather died, there was no more dating. There was no man. There was nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And both. Yeah. Same with both my grandmothers. They both they survived both their husbands. And actually, then they wore black the entire rest of their days. Actually, that's the tradition. You know,
well,
back in
my grandmother didn't wear black. Neither of them did. But they did not go with anybody else. And they did not have any boyfriends. They did not seek comfort in men. They didn't have any men in their lives afterward. Both of my Sicilian grandmothers, they just, when they died, that was it.
Yeah. But then, they weren't black widows. They weren't going after the next.
Well, the one didn't drive. She never learned how to drive. So that was, she didn't have she was well educated too, but she didn't work and didn't drive. And the other one was she was my best friend and she was the best person ever. And when he died, she was a gambler, she drove, she was the most fun ever. And she just didn't feel that she didn't have the tolerance for men. Like that was it. Once he died, why would she put up with anybody else? She had enough to live for the rest of her life and she didn't want to put up with anybody.
For some people, it's about a myriad of reasons for why they don't take up with anybody again.
She starts dating.
Right.
And dancing and having, and she was a great looking woman and going out all the time. And so she liked to play the slots. Right. She loved to gamble and dance. And we all took care of her. My brother men took care of her. Mm-hmm. So after she dies, I got more upset than I thought I was going to get.
You were emotional.
She was 91 and she'd had Alzheimer's, but the lights had gone out. And then she had lunch and went to sleep. And so I go back, my brother and I are very sad, and then I go to Belize for a little 10-day
Why would you go there?
It's beautiful. I like it.
Is it nice?
And it's inexpensive, and there's some real estate to buy. So,
are you going to buy real estate?
I am. Yeah.
Well, you're not afraid.
You're a brave man.
You go to a country for 10 days?
Yeah, honestly.
From right away, you.
My accountant said the same thing. How do you make those life choices?
Yeah, I mean, don't you need to know what's going on? Like, maybe it's a bad neighborhood you're
buying. Or maybe the government's unstable.
No, they used to be British Honduras, and they speak English, and it's.
They're lovely people. I know some Belizeans.
Very. Yeah. So I go, and my mother liked it, but my mother wasn't good with mechanical stuff, and she would go, oh, God, please don't. I don't know how to work anything. And a man would come and fix it or whatever.
Right.
So I'm playing a slot machine in Belize in a really sleazy little slot place, and I'm really sad. And I said, Mom, please give me a signal, please, that you're here. Show me, let me win some money or whatever. And I pull the thing like that. And I can hear my mother. I can, as clear as I'm sitting here going, John, I don't know how to get in the machine and do it. I go, Mom, everybody does it. You're in the spirit world. John, I don't know how to do it. I said, get in the fucking machine
and make
the cherries come. So I win like 10 Belizean dollars. Oh. And I go, Mom. Mom, please.
I swear to God, I know this sounds nuts. But it sounds so crazy.
I love his impression of his mother.
When I told Rick, I said, what do you think? And I literally put my hand up like we're betting for the Super Bowl, the spread. And we won a ton of money. We won like, I think it was around $8,000. And yeah. And I just said, all right, what's she say? What does she have to say? And I just put my hand up and I listened to what I think she's saying. Well, and
who's she? Who's
my grandma? She was the biggest gambler ever.
You didn't specify. So.
So I just like listen and I think what she's saying. Now he can't test me for always, but this is just like what I guess. Whatever. It sounds superstitious. It sounds wrong. I'm sure this
it's a 50-50 thing.
It could be totally wrong, but we won this year. So I wasn't wrong.
All right, there you go. Sam's going to make it rain.
3 sevens, please. So she goes, John, I've got it. And then she says to me, John, where am I? What has happened? And I said, Mom, you're dead. Oh, my God, I'm dead. I said, you're dead. How did it happen? And I said, well, you had lunch and you went to sleep and you didn't wake up. And she said, it was something I ate. I said, no, you're 91, Mom. Telling everybody my age.
I mean, I had that conversation.
The college next door killed you.
You're being funny.
I swear to God that happened.
You're saying that you had
spoke to my mother.
Don't you think this is an internal... Now, wait a minute. Are you in the casino having
this? It's not a casino. It's a shithole kind of a room with some Belizean hookers and a Chinese guy behind a screen. And I've got some Belizean dollars.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm
wait a second. Is this like My Mother the Car, where she could only talk when they were
the slot
alone?
Machine.
Oh, they were alone. In other words.
What a great storyteller anyway. Like, he's so natural. That's the one thing I admire in people. Like, I've known so few people in my life that weren't professionals, obviously. You know, I'm not talking about real comics. Like, people that could just run a room and a bar, like just have people eating out of their hands. Very few people I know with that skill that can schmooze effortlessly. And like, I love doing it. I love when I do it, like press galas, whatever, like when we're covering movies or concerts or whatever. I love those, you know, those schmoozing things, because it is all bullshit and it's free drinks, but it's also like you can just let your hair down.
Like with my family, I mean, I have a very, with your family, like my guess is that there's different personalities, but you're one of the people they look to get towards that sort of reaction.
Well, like Dad was a great storyteller. He was funny as fuck. He was.
You have to be. I guarantee it.
What?
Like, you're definitely one of those people in your family where people look to get
to
things
have, like,
going.
Like to get things going. Oh yes, absolutely. And my wife and I both, where we would, when we go to places, sometimes more in the last five, well, before COVID, I started to kind of get resentful. Not that people did anything consciously, but I didn't want to have to go and perform. You know what I mean? Like I wanted to just have good conversation with people. And you can do that. You can turn it off and just be, you know, normal, whatever. But sometimes you're stuck at such a boring thing. You're like, I got to do something or I'll go crazy.
I think I've learned over the years, the more I am myself.
Yourself.
The more my family just loves it. And they look to me to be that mouth, that burst, that like if I died tomorrow, the thing they would say is most outspoken, hilarious, da-da-da-da-da in the family. Like there's no doubt, because people are always looking at me to can't believe she said that, love right. that she said that. This is how she is always.
Right. It might have been crude or something, but it was funny and it was natural.
No, I just have no censor. And like I have censored myself in the past, but over the years, it's just like, what's the point? Because people naturally just they gravitate towards my opinions anyways, because I state what I want. I notice people hold things back in my family. And when I say how I really feel, people then have the ability to say how they really feel too, and they're almost happy that I say what
I feel. That someone said it,
happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's people I count on when I go to, you know, like just to spend time with them. I know it's going to be fun. Like if I know certain people are going to be at a function, I'm like, okay, we'll have a good time. You know, it's not going to be a total washout, but then, you know, other time, but it's precious few people I know that could just go anywhere and hang. You know, they can be down with, you know, rich people. They can be down with the street people. They can be down with just the average working stiff. They can be down with management. Doesn't matter. They have that magnetism. It's a charisma. Anyway, Jay is one of those people. I think I mean, he might rub some people the wrong way, but by and large, a cross section, I'm sure when he went out, a load of people like loved him.
I just think he's very charismatic, and he's one of those people that your honesty may be politically incorrect, but it's still good.
Yeah.
If it's in your head, are you actually?
I don't know. I just know that I could hear her voice.
What about a TV show? My mom is stuck in a Belizean slot machine.
You know something? Here's what's sad. I tell you something really meaningful. I tell you something really meaningful about my dead mother. And you ask me. I'm telling you how it happened.
And you speak to the dead.
I spoke
besides
to
your mother.
I didn't speak to her last night.
Do you speak to other dead people?
My mother spoke to her whole family. When she got Alzheimer's, she would tell me that she spoke to her mom and dad and spoke to her sister, and they were all alive to her. And I thought, well, I can sort of feel the same way.
So when the slot machine
I won about $25, and I'm thinking,
how could you leave that machine there if your mother's living inside a slot machine?
She's not living there. She just came there for the day.
She entered the slot machine and helped you.
She was vacationing.
Right. Okay.
Well, that's it.
I feel you.
Yeah. Your mother won't be in that slot machine.
No, your
she's
mother
not your mother.
No, your mother won't right. be in that slot
you
machine.
You see, your whole what, thing, what I make a living doing this too, is making fun.
No, but honestly, let me ask you a question.
This is like bets, like when we're making bets and we don't want somebody to do something, we say, we give them the malokia, which is
the evil eye.
The malokia. Yeah. We give you the malokia.
Yeah, in Greek there's a term tamatia sou dekatesera, and I think the translation is may you have like seven sets of eyes around you warding off, like making sure, taking care of you, looking out for you.
The superstitions are so amazing in the Sicilian family. It's unreal. Sitting down, standing up, the malocchia. You got to just you have to do it at the right time. It's nuts. People, you'll know what I'm saying if you know.
I know this.
Yeah.
How is it you avoided being a racist if your mother was so racist?
How do you know he had?
My mother was not a racist. My mother didn't understand when the environment changed. Like, we had the riots when I was a kid, and they were spraying people with hoses, and they had dogs. And my mother would say, "My God, what do the blacks want?"
And
I would say, "Mom, they want, you know, equality, and they want to, live." And my mother would say, "Oh, Papa would never allow that." Like, her father ran the universe.
It's so true, though.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go generally. You have to understand the context, guys.
I mean, they killed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for it.
Yeah.
Reality.
That's the type of woman she was. But you yourself, I mean, you've recently admitted you are a resident of New Orleans. You were for years. You grew up there. And you even say that
I think the hurricane's a good thing.
You said it was a good thing.
Cleaned everything up.
It sure as hell did.
You own a lot of real estate in New Orleans.
Hello, Philadelphia. Hello, Baltimore. Hello, Washington. You need a Cat 5 hurricane, too.
What is it exactly?
Please. We don't need anything. Nobody can even pass a math or a reading test above grade level. I mean, I just, come on. And by the way, New Orleans, they're a very witchy city, meaning like they believe a lot of superstition, not just like your traditional Sicilian superstition or Greek superstition, voodoo. And they're very big into that. I mean, they live by that.
Huge, yeah. The it's a very amazing cross section in New Orleans.
Clean up.
It cleaned up all of the bad people, white and black, and ran their asses out of there. Because look, we had about 400 and something murders, okay?
Right.
And it was kind of scary there. Right. And I had this house in the uptown section, and in New Orleans, everything's mixed. There's black, there's white, everything else. And I would be a little nervous opening my door. Well, that hurricane hit. They don't have all those murders anymore. And all those.
You have no problem opening your door.
Well, now Houston has a huge problem, and so does...
What is your real estate worth now that the hurricane hit? It must have gone up in value.
Well, because I'm in a high and dry area.
Right.
Oh, my God!
God love Jay.
And, of course, Houston and Baton Rouge have a huge problem now.
You're saying it cleared out a lot of the riffraff, the criminal element.
I'm writing a book about Houston's problem called Death by Chocolate.
You know what's so funny? I'm going to ignore that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ignore that insult, but I'm going to say it's very interesting that we're even talking about back then. And you watch all the billions that we need for every war. So at that time, it would be, we need this many billion for Iraq. We need this many billion for Afghanistan.
Yeah, honestly.
And now it's for Ukraine. It's for Israel. It's for the South Pacific. It's for whatever.
How about
whatever.
Your own backyard?
Yeah. We need it for everything. And then here's $700 per person for Maui. And for the fucking New Orleans thing, it's, I don't even think they gave them anything. So here's a piece of driftwood and Kanye on the fucking television next to Mike Myers saying George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Yeah.
Oh, death by chocolate.
Uh-oh.
What does that mean?
Uh-oh.
Nothing.
But let me ask you a question.
Death by white chocolate.
Let me ask you a question. What did you think of Jesse Jackson saying that the girl who was the stripper who got raped should get a scholarship to Duke? What did you think of that?
Well, I don't agree with that.
Well, right? That's one kind of an incentive program.
That's racial.
Yeah,
he's
that's
only
racial.
Doing it because she's a black woman, even though she's a
hooker.
Well,
this is a racial story, you know.
It is not.
Whenever it is a black woman accusing an all-white team of rape, and a racial element can enter into that. There is that consideration.
They'd have beat the shit out of and raped a white girl, too. Those kids on that team.
We don't know.
We don't know that.
Sure they
would.
That
didn't happen.
How do you know?
If I'd have been on that team, that's what I would.
Why doesn't anybody say, why is college costing so much that we have to bankrupt people in order to get an education?
Yep.
Nobody would have grabbed
the white girl.
It just would have cost more.
That's exactly. You see, that's racial.
He's a racist. What is...
a realist. I've been on the street.
So Gary was
telling me. You see what he said? He's a realist.
You were drunk the other night and you ran into, who did you run into? Celebrities.
I went out last night to, you know, Joe Allen, where everybody goes.
Enjoy life. You.
I was thinking this. That
you
I
and my
and
agent,
you,
go, you know how to go out and you drink.
You and my
you,
agent.
They're always out.
My agent has fun too. They go out, they go to a bar.
And we
they
laugh.
Have fun, they laugh.
They can sit around for hours drinking and talking.
I had the saddest discussion with my shrink the other day, yesterday. I said, you know what occurs to me now? Even when I was like working in Detroit and I was in radio, they put me at the Renaissance Center. I've never figured out how to drive anywhere or go anywhere. I have no sense of direction. And that's
I've never figured out how to drive anywhere. Didn't he say he drove up to Detroit himself and he ahead of his clothing and stuff and he had it sent to him?
I don't think he had any sense of direction ever, and he still doesn't. It's just not important to him. I don't know if it's a narcissist thing or if it's a visual thing with him.
I think it's a dumb piece of shit thing.
Yeah, it's really pathetic.
No, actually, I shouldn't say that. I know a lot of smart people that have my wife, for example, is very intelligent, but her sense of direction is abysmal. And
oh my God! I mean, imagine growing up in the day without GPS. I was writing, you know, MapQuest directions out to different places, and
hence landmarks. Hence landmarks. I mean, in my hometown, it wasn't that big. I could figure out, you know, exactly where to go before very long. And even as a kid, you're driving with your folks, and you memorize streets and how they turn. Because a lot of the times, your parents would take the same routes to go to certain places, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't deviate. Anyway, let's keep going. This is a great segment.
Probably self-imposed. I'm a reasonably intelligent guy.
Yeah, you could do it if you put your mind to it.
I would go to the Renaissance Center where they put me up, and then I would drive to W4, the radio station. I'd do my job and go back and sit in my room until the next day when I would have to go do
a
radio show.
A lonely hotel room.
Yeah, it never occurred to me to go to a restaurant. It didn't occur to me to walk outside and say hello to someone. I just sat in my room and waited for my work the next day, like Forrest Gump.
All right.
And I am ready to break out. I want to do what you do. I want to not worry about getting up so early. I want to go to a bar and drink.
Now, I worried about doing this today.
I can't do it.
Because, I worried about doing this today because I went out and I did. I drank last night and I said, you know, I got to, you know, come in there and sound good and, you know, promote myself and do the show and be good. And you're right. And once it starts happening, I'm having a really good time. Now, remember, I was raised in New Orleans.
Right, but
I didn't have all the bullshit you have. I'm not
erotic.
But I'm not interested in helping the world, or I'm not interested in being a good guy. I'm only interested in me. I was raised by a woman who was interested in herself. I'm interested in me. So I want to feel good.
Where did you go last night? Tell me your name.
I went to a dinner first with Rodney Conover. We had a little dinner. I met
with who?
Rodney Conover, who works with me.
Well, Rodney.
And we hang out.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
we have a great time.
Yeah.
So then I met Wendy Malick.
See, I've never hung out with anybody I work.
You know
with.
Wendy Malick.
Oh, what a bullshit artist.
I've never hung out with anybody I work with. You used to hang out with Robin and Fred all the time in the early days.
No, full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, actress?
Yes.
Wendy Malick? Who is that?
Yeah. Well,
how you know people.
Wendy Malick, who was in Just Shoot Me, and she played the editor. And then she was in, of course, Hot in Cleveland. She plays the mm-hmm. one that was an ex-model. And she's still, actually, for her age, pretty striking, I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just shoot me, Howard. She's
And she's and Dan Laurie.
What
is
are you
also
doing with her?
Going out to have dinner. Oh, Jesus. She is.
Dan Laurie is the father from the Wonder Years.
Yeah, she's very hot. She's very attractive.
The mother from the Wonder Years?
No, the father.
He's such an idiot. He's listening to them tell the information. He goes, and he can't get it right. The mother from the Wonder Years?
The father. Dan and I can Laurie. Think of both of them in my head.
Easily, yeah.
Mother from the Wonder Years and the woman who was on Just Shoot Me.
Hey, when you're sitting at home by yourself, watch American television.
I will.
All right. So, so what? So,
is she hot, Gary?
Yeah, she's.
You know what? We had her on the show once. She's older now. She's probably in her middle 40s, but she was a model in her 20s, and she's still pretty good looking.
No, she's.
You banged her.
No, we're having
have
dinner.
Have you ever banged her?
No. There was an Australian woman there.
Yeah.
A director.
Right.
And I was just going to have one drink and then go home.
You were attracted to this
beautiful
story.
Blonde. And she'd just come back from the tsunami. And she'd spent a year there videoing and all that kind of stuff. So I'm there. And I begin eating. And then desserts come. And I don't even eat that. I ate all the friggin' desserts. and I'm hanging out with these people.
And you're loaded.
And we go to this bar. Hmm. And we go upstairs to some new bar. And they say.
What is the fun in that exactly? You mean.
Because I'm continuing the conversation with any number of people.
And you enjoy conversation.
You know, Howard, I got to tell you.
Honestly, I don't get it.
Well, because you're sick, and that's why you're going to a doctor.
Right.
Stop being sick.
So you went out, you enjoyed the night with
people. You just have to stop being who you are.
I love that.
Oh, my God.
No, I guarantee no one in his life was telling him that enough, Howard. Not that it would change anything, but if enough people told him that, he'd eventually have to learn to fake properly.
He should tell him that every day.
Yes. Like 50 first dates with Drew Barrymore at the end has to wake up and watch a video. Like he should
replay.
Be watching a video and replay every fucking morning.
That's easy.
It is easy. It's simple. It's simple. It is.
All right. Go back to your story. So who do you run into at the bar?
He doesn't want to change. That's his problem.
Of course he doesn't want to change. He doesn't realize he enjoys his life.
I'm 52. I'm not going to change.
But you enjoy the way you live.
Listen, here's the deal. You were asking me, what do you talk about? If we went out last night, we would sit and bullshit. And you know what? Maybe you'd be interested in what other people say. I'm not, but I pretend
I am.
I pretend I am.
Right.
So they're all talking about movies or whatever the shit they're doing, right?
Right.
So then they say Seinfeld and Matthew Broderick are by the bathroom. They're by themselves, by the talking.
Seinfeld and Matthew Broderick.
We're having a drink together.
That's interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah,
yes.
I know.
Yeah.
So then, and the other guy, David Schwimmer, was around the corner. One or two. Oh, I find Swimmer very aloof. I find Jerry very aloof.
Yes.
And I don't know Matthew Broderick.
So do you know Jerry and Swimmer?
Yeah, I know him from Hello.
Acting.
From Hello. Yeah,
he just said he found them aloof.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
He's not even listening. He doesn't fucking. He doesn't have the mental capacity or the interest. But, you know, this is a fucking story.
So then Jerry Seinfeld once came backstage at a play I was doing and came and it was and I came out and he and his wife were standing there and they acted aloof.
Hmm.
Now, I'm thinking
to meet you.
I don't know who they came to meet, but it was like I came out and was embarrassed because they're acting aloof. And I'm thinking, well, then don't come back here.
Right.
You know,
don't be aloof backstage.
And I wanted to say, didn't you meet him on your fucking honeymoon, sweetheart?
Right.
I mean, that's the sickest thing. Right?
I love that.
I love things that crack you down to size. And this is exactly what Howard needs, which is why we exist. And people need to be cracked down to size every chance they get. You're born, you do something great. That doesn't mean you're better than anybody else, no matter what you think in this world, because we're all going to die the same way, 6 feet under.
Yep. Whether you have 50 Porsches in a good downtown garage or not.
That's right.
So I walk around the corner and I see Matthew Broderick and Jerry and I have a little drink in my hand and I go like I'm drunk. And I go, hey, like that. They hate it. They hate it.
Yeah, right.
And Matthew Broderick backs up, you know, to me. You know, I read for The Odd Couple. And when I heard that Matthew Broderick and the other guy, what's his
name?
Nathan Lane.
They should have played the Pigeon Sisters. Right?
Why did he say that? What? I forgot that.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, I mean, give me a break with those two guys.
Right.
So he's got the woman that's half naked all the time and all that. Well, you know, so he acts.
Right, right.
So I shake his hand, and it's like a little boy's hand. And Jerry, he doesn't say, how are you? How's it going? Have a drink? What do you? They just act shocked.
Right. Like you're a piece of garbage.
And that I'm overbearing and a sleazeball or whatever. And so I just stumbled off and acted like I was. Fuck him.
Right.
And you know that David Swimmer, he's another one. He starts to say hello to you.
Yeah, David Swimmer.
But
you don't even know how to say his name.
Right. Here, you dipshit. He just said the same thing. He goes, David Swimmer, you did the same thing.
Yeah, he did.
Jewish pronunciation is Swimmer.
Yeah, Swimmer.
I will not say the Jewish pronunciation.
Why is that?
Because he should be an American. Swimmer. He goes to say hello, right? He goes to say, but you haven't moved far enough, and so he pulls his hand back and doesn't speak to you.
Oh.
It's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. And on top of it, this is more along of the lines, and why I love this so much, by the way, and I'm so glad you're playing this. This is really what it is like in Hollywood. Like, you get your bones and whatever you made or whatever you think you made. And this is where Howard's at his best, even though he's still the worst, clearly, mentally. Mm-hmm. But you're hearing something that most people don't get to hear. These are what these elite, this culture is like. And you're hearing it before anybody really gets a TikTok, a social media, a MySpace, a Facebook, a whatever. We're hearing this firsthand from somebody who's super real.
And it's jarring when it meets the manufactured reality of Howard's, you know, like enclave. And Artie, like he and Artie could easily hang out and not be a problem.
Easy. No, of course.
Because they're at their hearts, they're guys, just normal guys who got into the business but remain normal guys for the most part.
I couldn't ever imagine being like this.
No, Jesus.
It's odd.
It's weird, but you're one of the insiders. I mean, you do the sitcoms.
I'm on the inside. I can tell you that.
Like you.
They don't.
Yeah, that's weird. I know what you mean.
That's why I stay home. Yeah. Look at all that's going on out there.
I think you have fun. You go out and have
fun, but I'm not a real people person.
Let's go to VJ in New Orleans.
Hey, what's up, Howard?
Hey, now.
Hey, now. Who's this Jack Lee from New Orleans on the phone?
VJ, it's me, Jay Thomas. I went to Jesuit. High school. How you doing?
What's up?
Nothing much. Where you at, man?
What's up?
By the way, Jay speaks to the dead every day on his show from 2 to 5 o'clock on the Star Channel, Sirius 103.
Well, why don't you get your mom to start telling you stuff that's going to happen?
Yeah. Instead of winning $10 in Belize. Tell her to tell you the
She's not that bright. I mean, everybody acts like
the slot machine.
No, everybody acts like the dead are going to give you. My mother wasn't that bright was alive.
Why do people assume that when they die, they're going to get smarter? Because they contact these people, they're looking for something profound. Your mother never said anything profound when she was alive.
Nothing.
And why would she be able to work a slot machine? She's not mechanical.
Exactly correct.
Right.
It pissed me off. Just like when I would be at the house and I would go, Mom, don't you know how to use the microwave? Oh, God, I'm not good with machinery.
Yeah, she just die and know how to work.
Oh, yeah, right. And then she comes back, and I expect her to fix it.
I bet you she's still scared of black people, though. He contacts his mother, and she goes, Jay, get away from the black people.
VJ, where do you live in New Orleans? What part
I live on the West Bank.
West Bank.
That's right.
That's Palestine.
Hold on a second. I'm from New Orleans. We make fun of people that live on the West Bank.
Why? Are they?
Well, they're of a lower rung.
They are. They're not as good as
listen,
you.
Listen.
You ain't nothing but shit.
Thanks.
We stopped the niggas from coming there looting us.
Listen to them. They shot guns on the bridge and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, these were the people that stopped the people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. You live in Plaquemines Parish, one road in, one road out, right?
No.
Yeah, you do. You live in Gretna?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right.
Jeez.
That was uncomfortable.
I wish it was the Sally audience.
Yeah.
Thank you, VJ. This is going nowhere.
Yeah, it's going somewhere. I bag it, bastard.
What?
How's things going at your radio show? Like, do you like?
I'm having a great time. Yeah, it's fun. We had a woman
on. Does Scott Greenstein pay attention to you at all?
No, it doesn't say a word. His eyes are always darting in the hall. I mean, they're thinking about stuff.
See, this is how
so much.
Like, if only Howard would talk like this. I mean, what he did with Tom Chiasano was always funny.
Oh, my God. But Fillmore, he had this at one point.
He did, of course.
What happened?
Tim Sabian happened like that. Like, this was what he traded him in for. And Tim was, I didn't find Tim added anything to the show.
I liked him. I just think that, I mean, in comparison to Marcy, see, we're comparing things.
Yeah.
So, but God bless this. I mean, this is just hilarious. And if you would have kept this up again, it's one of those things. It's wrong. But then you get to the point where you argue with people. You say it's wrong. That's what's the beauty of it.
Yeah. What's missing now? Fuck.
Oh, thank you.
He doesn't stop and say hello to you or thank you for the great job you're doing or anything. No. Nothing.
But you know what? I mean, I'm way past expecting any of that.
Would you ever go back to regular kind of radio?
Well, it would be hard, but I don't want to say never because, you know, I don't have the same situation you have. They came in and went, well, we're not going to pay you what you want or whatever, and you got to go. I'd want to go someplace else and work.
Right. So you got to be careful what you say.
I was thinking of maybe doing 2 hours where I don't say fuck.
And then you know what? I bet you they offered Jay not much more than like what Jackie got to do Joke Hunt. I'm sure Jay got like a pittance to work on Sirius.
Everybody got a pittance in comparison.
Yep.
1 hour of what I say, everything I want to say, so I can make a really good tape, you know, because you know what they're saying.
It'd be hard at this point.
First of all, they didn't want me to talk because I'd played records, right? And now that I can talk, they go, well, he can only talk if he says, you know, fuck or shit or whatever.
Right.
And that's not true.
That's not true. Well, you sound like you're doing great.
I'm having a great time.
You look good.
I feel good.
You really do. I see you working out. You're in okay shape, and that's good.
I worry about you with the therapy and all of that, and I mean this. Just don't be this way. I don't know how else to say it.
If he could just not be this way, he wouldn't need therapy.
Yeah, I mean, I got to straighten things out.
Couldn't you go a week without being who you are that you don't like?
No.
But why?
Are you cheating on your wife?
No.
All right.
See, he had to take the subject off himself.
How is this going? How is this therapy going?
I love that he would just come in and fuck on him.
I can't breathe.
So I wanted to know.
What does that mean?
When you were drunk last night, I want to know.
No, but you know what?
I say that I'm, that director.
And I said I'm married and have kids and everything else, and she was gone. It was gone completely.
You flirted a little bit.
Yeah, but you know what else? I'm so old. I get tired. I don't think I could do the chasing and all of that.
You
have to stay up late at night and all.
What is cheating to you? Can you kiss a girl?
No, but that.
Can you feel a girl's boobs?
Having her go down on you in the restaurant.
That's cheating. I just wanted every guy has his definition.
If you fuck a chick twice,
that's cheating. No, actually, you're engaged. Where I come from, that's an engagement party.
You got to listen to Jay Thomas weekdays from 2 to 5 on the Star Channel.
And what are you guys are broadcasting from the car show this week?
Yes, Thursday I'll be at the auto show at the Javits Center.
Is that what you're doing in town?
Yeah, well, you're laughing at me. It's derisive laughter.
I'm sorry. No, I think that's exciting.
You're an asshole.
What will you do at the car show?
Just being aloof like Swimmer.
Yeah. Right,
so we should come look at you?
I will have people who recognize me from Mork and Mindy come by and ask me where my hair went. I'll do that for a while.
What about celebrity guests? Are you getting any on satellite or is it difficult?
No, I'm getting. You're I getting get celebrity. But I get more weirdos. Really? I just go for the kind of weirdo kind of
the weirdo guests you like.
We had a guy on yesterday, Steffi Sings for a Sex Change. You need to have him on.
Steffi Sings for a Sex Change.
And he's selling a CD and he needs 25 grand to get it in Colorado or 8 grand to get it in Bangkok, where a chipmunk chews your penis off.
For the longest time, when I read this in a book, the only places you could get a sex change operation were Bangkok and London. And like for men to become women, I think that's what it was. And now God only knows where, how many places are like that, but at 25 G's, that sounds like a lot, but it doesn't, at the same time, not much at all for a complete gender reassignment surgery.
Well, just tell your teacher in elementary school and then you're on your way.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ted, we're trying to get him. And then there is a woman. Have you had the woman that was a stripper and was a porn star, Heather Veach? And
no.
She's now Jesus Christ, girls, girls, girls.
No.
And she's great looking, and she believes in sex, and she was really bad. She says, oh, I was really. She'll tell you everything she's done. And she.
She's trying to save strippers now? Is that
she
her?
She gets a lap dance.
Yeah.
She didn't want him to stop. She just wants him to know Christ.
Right.
And she was really interesting and cute, and there's nothing you can say to her that would thrower, and so we just go for these kind of oddities, and some, you know, we had Adrienne Barbeau up yesterday.
Right. I passed on her. Did I make a mistake?
The book is really pretty good. She
please.
Talks about screwing.
Oh God, like yeah, of course you passed on her because you didn't know who
course.
The fuck. They were awful when it came to certain guests, like that they eventually got in and stuff. Like the fact that he had Bill Burr on in like 2002 and then not again for another like fucking 15 years is criminal.
Right, and anybody who is a hot person, too. Yeah. Oh, I passed.
Yeah.
A guy who had herpes, and they couldn't find a condom in Ireland, so she put two Band-Aids on his penis.
What?
Over the herpes?
Yeah. And it was in a chapter, and then the publicist got upset that I was asking her, and I turned and I said, didn't you read the book? It's in the book.
Yeah, why would you be upset by that?
She was terrific. And she talked about Burt Reynolds and what a weirdo he was.
He's so odd.
He would break up with a woman, and this is in her book, and the woman would come back to the house, and there'd be a guy sitting in the living room, and he'd say, look, I'm Bert's lawyer, and you two guys are through, and here's some paperwork, and you're going to sign it, and you have an hour to get out of here.
Wow.
She's an That's interesting
great.
Interview.
That's you know, great.
I used to beat off to Adrienne Barbeau. She's probably one of my earliest sex
She's
fantasies.
Still gorgeous.
She is?
Absolutely.
See, I didn't have her in because I didn't think the chemistry would be there.
You know what? If you read that book, which, by the way, you will actually read it. You will be interested.
How did you know she's gorgeous? You're not in this. Oh, you were here doing the interview.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, he also recently on the, I don't know which show it was, but this week he mentioned about how, once again, how he beat off to Denise Richards when he was a kid. Meanwhile, she wasn't even born.
That movie came out when I was in high school.
Yeah, Starship Troopers, first of all, she's not even
No,
naked
I'm talking
in it.
About Wild Things.
Oh, Wild Things, yeah. Well, Wild Things, either way, same year at 96 or so. And he was like, what, 50, like 48, you know? And he's saying, when I was a kid, he does this all the time. He claimed, like, you know, he listened to Metallica in high school.
Okay, so that even wasn't when I was in high school. So people talked about Wild Things. Maybe I'm thinking something about Mary. But I do remember the pool scene with Neve Campbell because she was the Scream girl and everybody,
yes.
We all loved Scream growing up.
Right.
And yeah, so then that if that was even younger, like what are you talking about then?
Like that's someone who has completely just like made their reality some other playground, whatever, because you can't get that wrong. It was just of that era. It was like mid-90s. Like
well,
everybody
could you
knows
imagine
certain
though,
times
Fillmore,
of their,
me
their
saying
life.
Now,
yeah,
like me saying now, a statement like that, like what's hot now for, oh, Ice Spice or Cardi B,
right?
Or oh, did you see that WAP performance? Like I'm in high school and I say, did you see that WAP performance? Like I'm
right.
in high school and I'm 37
listening to music
years old.
20 years. Yeah. Listening to music 20 years in the future.
And I'm pretending that I was a teenager when I heard
yeah.
that.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I am 20 something years removed.
Well, that's my point. Don't you have a spatial and like a temporal an understanding of where you are in your life and where these things were? Yes, she was hot in those movies, whatever. Denise Richards, she was the hottest thing on. She was Megan Fox before Megan Fox, basically, with
right.
massive implants. But she, you know, whatever. Like she was the it girl for a while. But you weren't a fucking kid.
And that's why too, like. You can say like who were the hot girls of their time growing up, and that's why you say Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, you
right,
know,
of
like
your
you,
era, right? Your era is specifically
Ashanti.
Yours. You remember it, yeah.
Yeah, you remember
yeah.
J-Lo.
Yeah.
You remember that era of them being hot then, and I would
right.
never mistaken that for now.
No, he should be talking about Anne Margaret and not even Farrah Fawcett. But that was later, you know. I'm talking to his era, like even earlier, you know. I don't know, Ally McGraw or someone like that.
He's how old now? He's almost 70.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's older than my father.
Right.
He's older than my father. He should be saying, so who would be hot? I mean, his age. My dad was born in 58. So that's less than him.
So let's say 1970. So
my father is 64. No, I'm sorry. 66.
Okay, he's 4 years younger.
So that's a relatively around the same time period. How could they have such convoluted periods of time in their head of when people were hot?
Well, not like just don't say you were a kid when you did it. Like stop playing with time and acting like he said he used to beat off to Wonder Woman when he was a kid. When he was a kid, Wonder Woman was not even on the air.
Right.
Like Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, not Gal Gadot.
I know what you're saying.
And God knows there wasn't a guy in my generation that didn't fucking beat off to Linda Carter. She's extraordinary then, but like, and she for still example, looks amazing.
My dad thought Cindy Crawford was beautiful when she came out. He thought she was gorgeous. And I remember him saying that, thinking that, love the Pepsi commercial.
Right.
He wouldn't say, I love Cindy Crawford. He wouldn't say now, I love Cindy Crawford when I was in high school.
Right, of course. He just knows at a certain point when he was in his whatever 40s or, you know, that was the hot girl of the time. But he's not going to play with time and make himself a teenager.
No.
It's just insane.
Because normally you wouldn't even see her because you're in a different studio.
I know, but that doesn't make any difference. I will pretend they're gorgeous. It's radio.
No, but when you're in the room with a girl and she's hot, you can convey that to the audience.
All right, watch this, Howard. I'm trying to get through the day. Okay? Yeah. You want it to be all real and all this kind of. I just want to get through the day.
You just want your paycheck.
Well,
that's it.
I want more than that.
So do you.
Listen. Look, it is important. It's like I don't need everything to be. It's got to be the way it is. It's
did you used to beat off to Adrian Barbeau like I did in the Playboy magazine?
I can't. No, I have my own flip cards. You know how I know.
Who's in your flip cards?
I was going to say this. My jack bag. What do you want to call it? Yeah. I think that you're happily married as long as your wife is still in your jack bag and your flip cards.
And your wife still is?
She is. In fact,
who else is in your bag?
You know, it'll be like women.
You know who my dad thought was beautiful? Grace Kelly. He always said to me that I remember him specifically pausing the VHS and saying, she is the most beautiful, and Rear Window when we watched it. And I remember him saying that, like thinking she's just gorgeous.
She was like a more elegant type of, you know, stately, even though she fucked just about everybody that, you know, walked.
Now, but, come to find out, which was very disturbing for me, by the way.
No kidding. For
the
me,
internet
it was always,
ruined it for me.
There were two all time in my lifetime that in playing with time, Ava Gardner and Anne Margaret. Those two are my top two.
Anne Margaret is so beautiful. It's insane.
Right. Is she like, if you look at her, God, she's like, she's just stunning. She's the kind of woman where, you know, she's the kind of hot where most women would say I'd fuck her.
I have a black and white picture of her in my bedroom, and it's of her, and she's shimmying out of the sweater when she's doing that.
The Bye Bye Birdie or Viva Las Vegas dance.
Yeah. Doing, hi, what's the story? Morning glory. That's what
right, right.
Hummingbird. And so I have her shimmying out of, you know, her sweater. And she is so gorgeous. It's
stunning.
Crazy.
Yeah. It doesn't seem humanly possible. But there's a great story I'll tell real quick. She was working with George Burns early on in her career when she was still Anne Margaret Olsen, whatever, like her Swedish name. And, she was crying, and like she was in her dressing room, she was crying, and he saw this. She said, what's wrong? And she just said, oh, I miss my mother. She lives in, you know, I don't see her very often. And he goes, why don't you use my private phone and call her and just see how she's doing, whatever. And he left her in his dressing room for an hour, and she was talking for her mother for an hour. He comes back and he goes, "How do you feel?" She goes, "Oh God, Mr. Burns, thank you so much. I feel so much better." And he said, "Well, where does your mother live that you don't see her?" And he says, "She lives in Sweden." And he goes, I cried. A long distance call to Sweden for an hour in those days.
Wow.
Yeah. When it was like $5 a minute. It's not, you know.
I think the song, by the way, I think I got it wrong with that picture. It's a, it's like a, shit, it's feeling like a woman or a.
You're not talking about the one from when she was on The Tonight Show.
No, she's like shimmying out of the sweater and she's just like a, feeling like a.
Anyway, regardless, yeah. she's just
otherworldly. Effortlessly gorgeous.
Yes, and sexy. That's the difference. Like, not just
and beautiful. Effortlessly, no filters, no Botox, no nothing. Just like gorgeous.
Yes.
From that I dated before, really nasty women or something that did something really nasty.
Right.
And what's funny is that when you talk about do you run around and your wife, it's true. After you do that, it's like, boy, I'm glad I'm sitting here in my room. I'm not out spending money and chasing women. And then you turn on a movie or something and you're pretty happy.
Now get back to the guy with the herpes.
I mean, that's right.
Did putting the Band-Aids on his herpes work? She didn't get the herpes?
It's a whole thing where she was in Ireland. They don't sell prophylactics. And she kept going from one chemist shop to the other, and she'd say prophylactics, and they sold her zinc oxide. Then they sold her a laxative, and she said, "I'm trying to have sex with a man, and I need a condom." And she really wanted to screw this guy.
Right.
So they said, "You have to go to the doctor." She goes to a doctor. She explains that he has a cold sore on him, and the doctor says, "Well, I'm not going to give you the condoms either. You're just going to have to get cervical cancer." He said that to her.
Wow.
Irish guy. It's a strange story, and. She was sort of coquettish about it, but it was.
Well, if it was, you know, Ireland, harsh, you know, hardcore Catholic, yes, there is no premarital sex.
Wait, what is her? Wait, she had herpes and she's now getting cervical cancer?
The guy had herpes. Yeah. I think he was just embellishing, but yeah, he's basically saying you're going to have to suffer whatever he's got.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, don't sleep with so many people. That'd be my advice.
Everything was in the book, and you know, I perused the book quickly, and I thought, man, you know, this is pretty interesting. I read about 3 or 4 chapters, and really liked it.
I just want to know if you put Band-Aids on herpes, did she get the herpes?
I don't know if she
did. We don't know.
But in the book, she said, you know, he had it on his cock. I mean, she said that in the book, and I'm thinking, well, this will be fun. And she said, other questions I have are they real? You know, because her breasts are so, you know, gorgeous. And I said all these things because it was in the book. I knew that it was okay. The publicist guy was, you know, making faces.
Oh, God's sakes, how can you ask that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's too much, man.
By the way, Kreskin was in yesterday.
How'd he do?
He did great, and he did an incredible card trick that I was worried about. Now, is he a mentalist, do you think? Is that a trick?
Well, no. He does tricks, but Kreskin used to come on my show all the time. And then
you're a bright guy. You know Kreskin can't really do things.
No, he's talking to his mother, and she's in the beyond. Come on, Jay's got a little lapse there, too.
Anyway, guys, we're going to leave it right there. There's not much more left to the interview, but we loved Jay. Anytime Jay's on, it's a home run, and every single appearance was just fucking great. Any closing thoughts, my dear?
I just like the way that he makes things flow and all of the obvious things that Howard was so, oh, I can't believe you can do this or that. And he did it way before Howard did it and was successful at it. So, you know, it just shows him as a hypocrite. And it just shows also the type of unique voices Howard would have on the show that he would never, ever dare have on again.
No, he wouldn't. And there was a time when, Wesley Willis would come in. You know, he'd have, what's her name? Jackie Stallone, like Sylvester Stallone's mother, rather, and Frank Stallone, rather than have Sly. And he'd have Sly on as well eventually. So he was a lot smarter about guests. But back then, he'd take whatever he could get. I don't think it was him being smart.
I'm not going to say, obviously, because I don't think he's smart, but maybe because of the narcissism and how it evolves. And Bob can comment on this. I just think it's interesting that as far as the narcissism goes, it seems to me that he was able to have whatever came his way whatever, whoever, doesn't matter what shape, size, make, doesn't matter. He would have it on. He would platform it, and he would direct it however he wanted to. If it's intelligent, if it's hypocritical, if it's stupid, it doesn't matter. He would have it on, and he would at least engage. There, that just doesn't even happen anymore. There is some gatekeeper in his, either his head or whoever's controlling him, Marcy, yes. I don't know, SiriusXM, I'm not sure. But it's strange to me to see from, it's not even that long ago. Like, we're acting like this was, we're listening to something from 1950. It's not.
No. It was 18 years ago, and it and that era does seem like it was yesterday, because it was, it ended essentially in 2009, really the end of 2009, but where it was actually still funny. It is sick. And the other thing is, the one last thing, when he keeps focusing on the dirtiest aspects of the story. So he's into it, like herpes on the dick. That's what he was focused on in the story, as opposed to, well, look, this hot woman trying to have sex in a foreign country, but not able to get a condom because clearly the social environment wouldn't allow for what do you call it, contraception.
It's Why not discuss that? Interesting you say the dirtiest parts of the story. Why do you think he was interested most of rubber bands preventing herpes? Who have seen?
Band-aids.
I'm sorry. Whatever. Preventing herpes. Why do you think he'd be interested in that story so much? Who do we know?
That might have it.
That might have it. That literally has come out with lesions on her mouth on social media.
And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think herpes go away, do they?
Now, I don't, honestly, I would have to ask somebody. So if any of our listeners who has them, let us know.
Well, some STDs you can treat, others you get them, you have to maintain some type of equilibrium with them the rest of your life. I can't remember. I know syphilis is incredibly dangerous, but herpes, I believe, does not go away.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, folks, anybody with herpes out there, please let us know, like Sam did. Just you can't black out your name, but just say you have a friend who had it.
Let us know if that trick doesn't work.
Exactly. Anyway, take care, guys. We love you.
Bye.
Scott Weil and the Stone Temple Pilots. There's a band that, God, I just could give a rat's ass about.
I mean, what is that? What are you learning from?
Why use it?
This is no wonder people like this special. It's the anti-special. There's nothing special about these guys.
I really, they're one of those fans I never got.